Welcome to the Holistic Wealth and Health Podcast. Your co-hosts, Jason Smith and Brian Bibbo, will inspire and teach you how to prosper in your mind, body, and spirit, not just your financial life. Joining forces with field experts, Jason and Brian are here to help you focus on what matters most in your life, living well.
Welcome to the Holistic Wealth and Health Podcast. I'm Jason Smith, and I'm here with my co-host, Brian Bibbo, and we have a special guest today, Seth Meisler. And so you're going to hear the story here in a minute about Seth and how him and I met and how he came to join our team, which is what we're going to talk about today, and we're really excited about. But Brian, you want to go ahead and kind of introduce Seth to everybody?
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about Seth here, and we're just happy to have him on the JL Smith Group team. He joined us December of 2023. What he primarily does is working with clients towards their financial goals, giving that strategic financial retirement planning, tax planning, investment management solutions. In addition, offers the risk management, retirement planning, estate planning, and other comprehensive financial services. We're so grateful to have Seth on the team, and he was such a good addition and is going to continue to be one because he has so many years in this industry. He was a principal, chief investment officer, and then also a financial advisor. He has years of work experience as an auditor, which Seth, we talked about this at lunch today, so I'd love to dive into that. He was a vice president of credit production officer at a bank in Chicago, and then he has a master's in business administration from DePaul University and also a bachelor's of business administration from the University of Michigan. But you're also a CPA. There's a lot of more accredited background that we'll get into here in a minute. But Jason, tell us how you originally met Seth and how this relationship came about.
Yeah, actually, real quick though, Seth, what are the designations? CPA, CFP, CFA?
Correct.
Wow. Yeah. And so that's like the trifecta, CFA, the most difficult designation to get in the investment management industry. So anytime I see somebody with a CFA, I'm like, okay, they're officially smarter than me. So we're super excited. We're really excited to have you on the team, Seth. Yeah. Let's tell a little bit of how we met, Seth. It's kind of fun. It's been years in the making that you and I have been part of the Ed Slot Elite IRA Advisor Group. So we've been mentored and coached by, you know, the top mind in the industry when it comes to tax planning and management. But yeah, what's your first memory of you and I kind of knowing each other?
So I was telling this to Brian yesterday. So I've known you and Dave, I don't know, 7, 8+ years through Ed Slot. And I remember receiving from you the video that you made with Ed Slot and Dan Sullivan interviewing you guys.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And I think that was like early on in the CPP process. So that's really how far back we go in terms of how long we've known
each
other.
That's over 10 years ago. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. So longer than 8 years. Yeah. And so I remember that and seeing you and Dave and other people from C2P, you know, twice a year for 2+ days, really kind of built a foundational relationship over time in terms of getting to know each other, you know, as advisors and sharing ideas, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's really kind of the start of the relationship. And then the fact that I had a daughter, or I have a daughter, who went to Oberlin.
Right.
And so having that connection as well.
It was funny, you and I were chatting in an Ed Slot meeting and I just happened to organically come up and you said, yeah, my daughter goes to Oberlin College. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm built a farm in Oberlin.
Right.
Like, and then we ended up getting together for coffee.
Yeah. Exactly. And she actually was a nanny for twins in Oberlin part-time. Right. Well, so she had like that experience, you know, working with kids and et cetera.
Unfortunately, it was like too late. We realized because of course we have twins. And I was like, oh, she could come nanny for it, but it was right as she was graduating. So it was a little too late.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she had like, I think like 2 weeks left of being in school at the time.
Right.
So, but then kind of that, then meeting and talking with each other, getting together for coffee, getting together kind of several times.
Yep.
And really, I don't know, kind of coming to you for like as a mentor or as advice, et cetera, in the business. And I think that really kind of created this really, I don't know, for me, kind of a strong relationship with the team.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's interesting. Originally, I was going to help Seth set up just his own, you know, individual office, Meisler Financial Planning, right? In Minneapolis. And then the more we started talking and heard about the synergies and the opportunity to just join forces instead of you running your own shop underneath our Prosperity Capital Advisors to actually join J.L. Smith, we both got pretty excited and said, man, this is a great fit. And Brian, I know you got really excited too to, you know, to work jointly with Seth on some of the high net worth, high income, more advanced planning strategies that Seth specializes in. So it was just like super cool synergy and fit that came about.
Yeah, I remember the first time, Seth, we met. It was at the North Coast 99 dinner. You happened to be in town and we invited you to that dinner. And it was quick, right? We were accepting award for J.L. Smith for being one of the top firms in Northeastern Ohio. But when Jason told me you wanted to join the team, I don't think a sentence got out of his mouth without him telling me you're a CFA. He's like, did you know that he's a CFA? Did you know? And I was like, Jason, I heard you. He's like, he's a charter financial analyst. You know how smart he is? That's all he kept hitting in with me the whole time. But it's just a funny story to tell. And obviously, it's great to have you on the team. But I just remember Jason keep repeating that to me.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, even just, you know, the level of clients that you've brought to J.L. Smith, just, you know, very intelligent, high quality, high net worth, high income individuals that fit culturally with our family of clients at J.L. Smith. So it's, yeah, we're really excited. And it's awesome because Minneapolis is, you know, is a great city that we spend a lot of time in. So to have a branch there is, you know, it's exciting.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think especially the cultural part, I mean, that was really the key thing. I think just my clients tend to be people who are kind of salt of the earth. They tend to be people who like to give back to their community. They want things to be done kind of right the first time a certain way. They are definitely, you know, very detailed sticklers. And so making sure that cultural fit is really was really critical. And I think it's been a great fit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Brian, go ahead. I know you wanted to ask Seth a couple questions. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to get an understanding of like the progression, right? You went from auditing beans, right? Being an auditor and therefore third act in the industry. And now you've, you know, rounded it out with the CFA being also a financial advisor. Like, what was that career path look like? And how did you get to where you're at today and finding that passion?
He didn't literally audit beans, by the way. He was a bean counter. So, Brian, you got it. But it was a good one. That was a good one.
It's a count lingo.
Yeah. So I guess I do want to say, so in high school and college, my brother and I had our own company where we were seal coating driveways and parking lots. And so the two of us were actually grossing at the time, this is in the mid 80s, like $100,000 a year over the summer.
Yeah.
The two of we had like multiple trucks and crews and stuff like that. And at a certain point in time, we're like, what are we going to do with this business? Like, are we actually going to do this full time or are we going to like, you know, or do something else? And both of us, he wanted to go to law school or he was in law school. I was going the accounting route. We ended up selling the business actually.
Oh, really?
But it helped pay a lot of our college expenses for both my brother and I.
Right.
And so we always had like this business kind of thing. And so that led me to take accounting in high school and go to, you know, be completely direct in college to graduate in accounting. I was an auditor. I actually wrote an article for like Accounting Today about auditing and Westerns and how the auditor comes into like, you know, a company to find out like what's going on.
Yeah.
And so loved auditing. I was with a smaller firm that today is now part of Plante Moran. And you know, through all the mergers and stuff like that, focusing on insurance companies, et cetera. But I had this desire to get an MBA and was able to find a company that was, you know, willing to pay for me to get an MBA while working.
Nice.
And so that was kind of important to continue learning. And so went, got an MBA in finance. And I remember kind of finishing it up and I'm like, okay, I thought I'd be like a stock market guru. And I didn't feel like I was as comfortable as I wanted to be. And so I talked to a professor of mine at DePaul and I'm like, what do you think I should read to kind of get better? And he's like, well, I think anything I give you is going to be on the CFA curriculum. So why don't you do that? And instead, And so at the same time, I had a friend of mine who actually is in a different part of this business, Brian Portnoy. He was learning. He was at Morningstar at the time. He was getting a CFA. He was just starting to get that. And he's like, well, you should do it. And so I'm like, okay, well, you're doing it. I'm going to do it too. And so that's, I mean, kind of crazy at the time, but that's kind of what I was doing. And I just kind of continued to get the CFA. Didn't realize, you know, you didn't quite realize how much studying you really need to, to get this. By the way, after the, at the end of the CFA exam, like I would always take my wife out for dinner, and it was, you know, it was one of those dinners that, you know, it's either going to be a happy dinner or a sad dinner, right? Happy you pass or sad, like,
right.
We're going through this again.
Yeah.
Because it's like 3 or 4 months of really intense studying.
Yeah. I mean, that's just right before you take the test. Years of preparation. Yeah.
And so I was doing, at that point in time, I was doing working for Bank of America in their leasing credit department. And my wife wanted to move back to Minneapolis. That was where she's from. I'm from Detroit, and kind of be with, you know, grandparents, et cetera. And so I got introduced to a financial advisor, and he said, hey, we're looking for someone who has that kind of investment chops and be in the business. And would you be interested in doing it? And I thought, okay, this is pretty interesting. And so I joined up, ended up kind of doing like everything in the business, doing operations, investments, working with clients, marketing.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday, I saw Brian like kind of sweeping the floor, right? And so that reminded me, like, that's what I would do. You know, if there was something on the floor, I would pick it up. I would clean the coffee cups, whatever. Like,
right.
When it's, you know, you do what you need to do.
A couple months ago, I was at the office picking weeds. I mean, it's like, you know what needs to
be done, exactly. You know? Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I got into the business. Yeah. And then really more on the back end side, and then eventually working with clients directly, and which I, you know, was able to do and really help to explain concepts to the clients and help them out.
Right. Yeah. I think the most successful people, similar to Brian and myself, in my studies and in just seeing advisors that really flourish in this industry, have a lot of time kind of in the backstage, like working in multiple areas and operations and really learning the business, getting a strong foundation before they're actually sitting in front of clients and giving advice. I think too often, you know, a lot of the big insurance companies do this, New York Life and Northwestern Mutual and others, they like literally have a training course and then they go set people loose on their friends and family versus like having years of preparation in the backstage and learning the business appropriately before you're ready to go out and get good quality advice. Seth, you just went through the bucket plan training. And so more recently, and so I know you were familiar with it, you read the book and all of that, but now you just went through the online university training as well as the live virtual experiential training with all the role-playing that we do. And tell us a little bit about, you know, I guess what you've kind of learned in that process and how you feel it fits and how that is going to help you do what you do already very successfully, even better.
Yeah. So I actually met Harold Davinsky a number of years ago and Dina Katz. And so familiar with the bucket plan and had talked to Harold about it again, years and years ago.
So a little bit of background, Harold Davinsky is a professor out of Texas Tech that's also a financial planner and advisor. And he is the kind of the godfather of the concept of time segmenting your money based on the purpose and the time horizon when you're going to access it, and ultimately called it buckets. And so he was the very first one of the concept of bucketing and calling it buckets, just for the listeners to have a little bit of a background. And then kind of, and I actually didn't realize it, we called it boxes. And then I circled the totals at the top one day, and a client said to me, and you may or may not know this, Seth, they said to me, hey, those look like buckets. And I'm like, and actually Glenn was the guy's name. He said, you know, I've always had a bucket list, but I never had a bucket plan. And it just was like, bing to me. I was like, and then went out and I trademarked the bucket plan. And then, you know, we, you know, have a financial planning, what we call a holistic wealth management process that's built around this concept of bucketing. So just as a quick interjection, but that's interesting that you actually, I've never met Harold Dubinsky.
Yeah. I mean, at the time it was a two bucket plan philosophy is what he was doing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Again, I think maybe now he's doing three.
Okay.
But at the time it was two buckets.
Yeah.
And I would say, so I had been using kind of the concept of bucketing in terms of time segmentation of money, keeping some money conservative and making sure there's some money for, you know, next 12 months, the now bucket. I didn't call it any, you know, now, soon, later. I think the advantage of the bucket plan is how visual it is, which makes it so much clearer for clients, so much more intuitive, and really also allows them to sleep better at night. Because, you know, any volatility that they have in their portfolio, they know, oh, I'm not touching this money for like 10 years or, you know, I don't need to worry about that because the money that I'm going to be touching, you know, in the next 10 years or so, that's protected, that's safe. And and I think that makes a huge difference, number one. Number two is when you kind of drill deeper, because whatever, that's kind of things I do. But there is a lot of academic research to support how the bucket plan is in terms of what I think it's David Blanchett has, what he calls kind of the retirement smile or the asset allocation smile. In other words, starting really high in equities at the beginning of your career, like when you're in your 20s, your lowest equity point tends to be approaching retirement.
Yep.
And then as you get older, your equities tend to increase. Because, you know, then it becomes more legacy for family, you know, it's that you don't really need, you're not planning on spending those dollars. Yeah. And so it's called a smile because of the equity allocation. And if you look at how the bucket plan kind of works in practice, I think that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And so seeing that and how that aligns, you know, it's so simple and intuitive and clear, and yet it's rigorous from an academic standpoint. I think it's like it marries the best of both worlds. And that's what I really like about it. And also, and I think you said this on a podcast recently, and I don't know if you want to repeat it so that like my clients can hear about how applicable the bucket plan is in whatever stage of life you're in.
Yeah, the bucket plan is definitely applicable to any age. And, you know, I tell a lot of people this, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a 22-year-old coming out of college and just starting to set goals and save, or you're an 80-year-old preparing for end-of-life planning, or you're a tribesman in the middle of Uganda in the African safari, and you're just trying to figure out how to allocate your resources in a time frame of now, soon, and later, right? It's very applicable to anyone at any age because, you know, for the younger people who maybe haven't accumulated wealth or what we call Henrys, right? High earner, not rich yet, right? So that would be somebody like, I was just talking to my dentist, actually, and she's coming in, you know, for a financial planning appointment. And she's like, I don't really have money yet, but I make a lot of money. I'm like, well, you're known as a Henry. And she's like, what's a Henry? And I told her, high earner, not rich yet. She's like, so if I come in and I work with you, are you telling me you're going to turn me from a Henry into a here? And she's like, high earner and rich? I'm like, no way, you're good. So I thought that was really cool. But yeah, I mean, whether you're trying to set goals in the appropriate timeframes and decide where to save the money and how to invest the money in the now, soon, or later bucket, you know, the now bucket really isn't going to be per se invested. It's more earning the highest possible interest rate while remaining completely safe and liquid. The soon bucket is going to be invested more conservatively that you can draw income or withdrawals if you need to above and beyond your now bucket, but know that you can go to that money and not have the risk of a big downturn in the market and now you can't access those funds because you'd be selling at the low, right? So you got to invest that differently than the now bucket. Hopefully, you know, the goal would be to earn a higher rate of return, a little bit more conservative versus just completely safe and liquid in the now bucket. And then in the third and final bucket, you know, that's where even like a young person is going to be, you know, making 401k contributions and IRA contributions, et cetera. And, you know, somebody's going to be invested more for the long term. Like you mentioned before, you're going to have at least a 10-year time horizon. So you're competent to be able to take on the volatility that the market in equities bring in that later bucket, because you bought yourself a time horizon between the now and the soon bucket. So you have total confidence in the later bucket doing what it does, letting the market do what it does, but getting the highest possible rate of return by taking on that volatility.
And I think it's great that the end result for each client is specifically individualized to them, but the process is the same.
Yeah, absolutely. The holistic wealth management process: discover, design, deliver, and then we go into the dedicated phase, and covering the five tenets or the five principles. And Brian, you often call it the five pillars of financial planning, and making sure that all five of those are addressed in a holistic wealth management plan. And I think that's what differentiates us from a lot of other firms that are just doing investment management or just doing investments in insurance. You know, by doing all five pillars, and Brian, you can kind of expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, so Jason, those pillars, when we think of the pillars of financial planning, or in our case, holistic wealth management, it starts with the first pillar, which is that financial planning aspect, coming up with that game plan, putting it all together. Then asset management. What assets do you have, and how do we use them, and where do they fit in your buckets? And the thing I always say is, like, it's so important with the asset management that you have the tax management curtailed into it. You know, whether you're 20 years of age, is the example you used, or you're going into retirement, you want to make sure you're thinking about just not the now, soon, and later buckets, but the now, soon, later tax management, because laws will change along the way, but you know where you're at right now, and making sure you have a plan that's most tax efficient. I think I hear it every day when I meet new people and new relationships are starting with us and individuals. I want to pay the least amount in taxes possible, right? That's why integrating all of these pillars together is so important. But when we look at the last two, is the protection planning. And when we think about protection planning, it can mean a lot of different things. It's like having that soon bucket in place. If I'm near or at or in retirement, I want to make sure I have assets protected so I can withdraw off them and have that income coming in, whether I need it to live off of or Uncle Sam's knocking at my door at age 73 and requiring me to take out money. And then the over-encompassing thing is the legacy planning. And when we talk about legacy planning, if you're a single individual, it's like, hey, I want to make sure my kids in the future are taken care of, or maybe my niece and nephew, the people that are near and dear to my heart. But if you're married, it's the surviving spouse, right? You want to make sure you have a plan in place for that surviving spouse. And estate planning means a lot of different things to people. I hear it like different states, like Seth, where you're at, there's an estate tax of $2 million plus, where Ohio doesn't have one, but Washington has one. So every state is also different. And you need to make sure you're mitigating, hey, the taxes, the estate. And if we can leave an asset to a family member, do you want to leave a big old taxable account to them? Or do you want to leave them a tax-efficient account or a tax-free account? Those are the concepts we work with. But it's those five pillars that we put together within the financial plan and encompass it all into the bucket plan to make sure you have that well-rounded plan. But Seth, I want to dive a little bit more deeper because you've had multiple opportunities recently and you've decided to join J.L. Smith, right? But I want to understand your why. Like, why did you choose that? Why is that in the best interest of your client? So can you elaborate on that for us?
So I think on a personal side, and I think this aligns really well with J.L. Smith as well, is when you're working directly with clients, there is this feeling of where they are today and where they are in the future. And like the number one question that people have on their mind, I think, is, am I going to be okay? And, you know, am I going to be okay from health and wealth and legacy and kids, et cetera? And really trying to help get them to a place where they can see and do things that they never thought possible. And that to me is what's really rewarding in terms of, you know, they're at, you know, point A, they're here today, and then somewhere, you know, else in the future. And we can point that out and show them and give them that opportunity I think that's what's really rewarding. I actually had a bunch of clients together and kind of created like an ad hoc advisory board. And I met with them and I said, what is the things that you're interested in? And they're like, you're not talking enough about philanthropy. That's what they said. They're like, we want you to really push us a little bit more and say, hey, are you thinking about philanthropy? This is, you know, how much can you afford to give and not really, you know, it won't affect your financial plan. And they're like, we want to hear that. We want to hear about other opportunities. We want to hear from like a foundations and donor advised funds and stuff like that. So, and part of that is also kind of, I think, Minneapolis ethic and, you know, and partly my clients, et cetera, that they, you know, caring about community, but seeing those things and being able to where they are, they're doing the things that they want to do for, you know, in their life and their family, and they feel that they are in good financial shape and also being able to give it back. I think that's really rewarding.
And I think that's one of the many things you're going to bring to the table, you know, Seth, that we're excited about, you know, for you bringing to the team. You know, I know that you were recognized by former President George W. Bush for your philanthropy efforts. Talk a little bit about that. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So when I was in Chicago, I was part of a group that started a school, an elementary school, and I was kind of like the second treasurer before the school even got off the ground. And I was going in at night, even when the school had first started, and I was doing all of the accounting, all the payroll tax, you know, the whole shebang. I mean, it was a two-person office basically at the time. And so I was putting in, you know, working there 2 to 3 nights a week, plus weekends, et cetera. It's 2 full-time jobs to get this done. And basically it got submitted about all the hours I put in. And because it was like kind of crazy, the number of hours, it got recognized by the President of the United States in terms of like volunteerism. And today, by the way, that school is thriving. There's like 250 kids who are in there. It's the 20th year of the school. I mean, it's kind of an amazing story. It also, one other thing about that whole story is, yes, I did a lot, but it was about the whole team. It was the team. It was kind of the right people, right place, right time. And you really see what a team and having those players really can do.
Yeah.
And that makes me excited about J.L. Smith and the players and the team, et cetera. It's that right team, right fit, right time.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing story, Seth. I'm just going to say is like right when you said it, it kind of made the hair stand up on my back a little bit. It gave me the goosebumps. Like just to hear that, like you put in all that effort out the gate. And now to hear that 20 plus years later, how well that school is thriving. I mean, kudos to you and doing that and seeing that through. I mean, that's when we talked about the pillars, right? And we talked about like legacy planning, but look at the legacy as an individual you left behind because you helped get that school off the ground. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. And I'm still involved in the community volunteering. I'm right now on the board of a local theater in St. Paul called Six Points Theater. And so trying to help out there, as well as I'm on the financial planning committee for the Minnesota CPA Society. We do a 2-day conference. It's a great conference for CPAs and financial planners. So really kind of getting involved and trying to give back to the profession and the community.
Yeah. Well, I think you're a good testament to what a holistic wealth manager is. And, you know, we're so excited to have you join our team and such a great fit. And not only, you know, do we feel confident that we're going to be able to add value to your existing clients by being part of a bigger, more robust team and resources. But I think that, and I know that you're going to add a lot to our existing clients. And this is one of those things where 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. It equals a multiple. So welcome, and thanks for joining the team.
Yeah, one last question, as you always know, Jason, is Seth, if you had one message to leave to the world, what would it be?
I would say show up. In other words, be here. Sometimes to play in the game, you have to actually like walk in the door. You have to be there. That's like 90% of the battle. And so I think kind of being there, doing what you need to do also to show up, you know, that prep work. I think that would be my message.
Yeah. I love that.
I love
that, Seth. That's a great way to kind of wrap. And fun little fact is, you know, we have core values at J.L. Smith, as you know. We have core values in my family, at Smith family, and one of them is Smith show up. And so I completely agree with you sometimes.
See, this is like me to be.
Isn't it? And it's funny because like sometimes in the morning, you know, when the alarm goes off and I don't want to get up and work out, I just say it to myself, like, I got to lead by example, like, and show my kids, like, Smith, show up.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I have that same thing. Like, I'm gonna work out and I'm going to be there. Hey, maybe a bad workout, but I'm going to be there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate your time and looking forward to many more years in the future with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Holistic Wealth and Health Podcast. We hope we inspired you to make changes so you can live your best life. If you want to find out more about what we do, or if you want to have a holistic wealth and health financial plan, please call 456-833-7000. Please subscribe to the podcast and share it widely with your friends and family. Financial planning and advisory services are offered through Prosperity Capital Advisors, PCA, an SEC-registered investment advisor with its principal place of business in the state of Ohio. J.L. Smith Holistic Wealth Management and PCA are separate, non-affiliated entities. PCA does not provide tax or legal advice. Insurance and tax services offered through J.L. Smith Holistic Wealth Management are not affiliated with PCA. Information received from this podcast should not be viewed as individual investment advice. Product discussions and illustrations are hypothetical in nature and will vary based on many factors, including, but not limited to, age, health, product, insurance carrier, and product design. You should consult the insurance carrier website and policy for detailed information. For information pertaining to the registration status of PCA, please contact the firm or refer to the Investment Advisor Public Disclosure website, www.advisorinfo.sec.gov. For additional information about PCA, including fees and services, send for our disclosure statement as set forth on Form ADV from PCA using the contact information herein. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money.